You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Some 4 million women give birth in this nation every year. Yet American researchers have spent little effort exploring women's fear of childbirth. One exception is a recent University of Michigan study of fear during childbirth and just how that fear might affect outcomes for mother and baby. The study was conducted by my guest, Lisa Kane Lowe, an associate professor at the U of M School of Nursing, Women's Studies, and OBGYN. She's also president of the American College of Nurse Midwives, and Lee Roosevelt, a nurse midwife and clinical assistant professor at the Michigan School of Nursing. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Lisa, why did you decide that we needed to study on the fear of childbirth? I mean, what questions were you seeking to answer?
Well, when Lee and I were first talking about this as clinicians, you know, you see women and you're working with women regularly and seeing and observing some things that you're kind of trying to put together in your mind. And as clinicians, we knew that women really carried away some anxieties and fears as you'd talk to them in their prenatal visits. And so we started to think about how does this really impact the big picture of their experiences and their outcomes? Like if you put all the individual women's stories together that we were seeing, what is it that we can learn about and know about to be able to do a better job to reduce that fear?
And Lee, this study is one of only three of fear of childbirth in this country. And why do we know so little about something that so many people, so many women go through all the time? I guess I'm trying to get a sense why this research is so important.
And I think that's a good question. I don't really have an answer about why it hasn't been studied in the United States. There's quite a bit of extensive research that's looked at it in some of the Scandinavian countries. But when Lisa and I were sort of talking about the differences that when you have a country that has universal health care and a fairly homogenous population, really good, strong support systems, the fear of the childbirth experience looks very different than it does in the United States.
Beyond the pain part, what did you find that women are afraid of when it comes to pregnancy and giving birth?
Right. And I think when we think about fear of childbirth, we can think of it as also a very normative experience.
Yes.
That it's a new event. There's a lot of unknowns with it. And to have some fear and worry about it is very, very normal. What we see in clinical practice, though, is that for some women, that fear transcends that normal, see, and moves into a space where it interferes with the process of birth. And when the Scandinavian research really looked at fear of pain was a big one, fear of the mother dying or the child dying were sort of the three big fears that women in other countries had. And I expected to see those represented within women in the United States, too. And I think what was different, though, is that women in the United States talked about those things, but they talked about it like, yeah, of course, those are normal fears. Mm-hmm. But they had more sort of the fears that they wanted to talk about were more related to the structure of how healthcare is done. They had fears that their providers weren't going to pay attention to them and weren't going to listen to them or weren't going to be there, weren't going to treat them respectfully, that they were going to be giving birth in an institution. Either they were giving birth in a hospital and they didn't trust hospitals, or they were giving birth at home and felt a lot of fear about transferring to a hospital. But the fears that they talked about were more related to the maternity care system as a concept than the actual birth itself.
And then what did you learn as you talked with women and conducted this research, Lisa, as far as the result? How does it affect that fear, affect the outcome for mother and baby?
Well, what we know from larger studies is that fear, when it's an overriding fear like Lee described, greater than the normal, we start to see it impact the labor process. Women can't sort of let go and work within the process of normal labor, so they're more likely to have emergency cesareans. They're more likely to have some other complications during the labor process. They don't have risk factors that are medical risk factors. It seems to be related to this higher level of fear, which can disrupt your normal physiology. So those are the types of outcomes that can play out when you have this high level of fear. In the context of looking at the U.S. women, what we found is that the fears also resulted in some different behaviors. If you're very fearful of the healthcare system, your desire to access it is less, or when you do access it, you may not feel like you can trust. So you're not willing to necessarily say everything or talk freely and comfortably about all the issues that might be of concern to you. And you also may have a lot of self-doubt about whether you can even say that you're afraid and talk honestly about those things. So all of those relate to a provider not being able to necessarily understand where you're coming from and what might be needed to help you through the process or to assist you with the process. So those are some of the pieces. The other thing is, because we don't talk about it, it makes you also think, you know, there's the normal fears like Lee talked about, but it also makes you start to doubt yourself. And it starts to feel like something's wrong with you, when in reality, when we looked across the women in the study, what we found was that they were all having these types of fears, and that it was systematic in the healthcare. Their fears were systematic against the healthcare system and the way it's constructed, not that they had an individual disease or problem that they had to take individual responsibility for, that we needed to look broadly at our healthcare system and how we'd provide maternity care to think about how we might better be able to construct things.
Are we seeing the fears spread across the board, or are there some groups based on socioeconomic level or ethnic background or whatever factors you looked at that you tended to see women more fearful than in other groups?
I mean, I think particularly when we looked at women where English was their second language, and women of color, there's a long history of abuse by the healthcare system of these women. And that abuse and that history carries into their current experiences.
Distrust.
Right. So there was a lot of distrust of healthcare providers, and whether, you know, one woman talked about she had had a previous baby die right after birth, and she really felt like if she had not had Medicaid, like state health insurance, if she had had private insurance, that they would have treated her and her baby differently and her baby might have lived. And again, I don't know if that's the case or not.
But it felt real to her.
But it felt very real, and it's based on very real data that we have huge disparities in outcomes for women of color and their children. And women know that, and it plays into how they experience their pregnancy and how they experience interactions with their healthcare providers.
So it seems your study is focusing the spotlight on the state of maternity care in this country, and it, which leads to the question, what can maternity care providers do better than they have been doing, or not do that they have been doing, stop doing? What do you see?
Yeah, and I think that's very true, that when the more women I talk to about their experiences with fear of childbirth, the more we sort of realize that their fears were a very rational response to a pretty broken system. And like Lisa said, we're not sort of an individual psychopathology or something that needed therapy to treat. And I think what we as providers can do is work really hard to focus on that alliance between our patients and ourselves, that the prenatal care experience is not just going in and measuring the belly and listening to heart tones and answering a few quick questions and moving out of the room, that that building of rapport and relationship with our patients is essential. And even if they aren't talking about their specific fears during those prenatal visits, if they feel more comfortable with their provider and that their provider is listening to everything that's going on in their life, that it can put women more at ease, that they have a provider that is going to pay that amount of attention to them during the birth as well.
Well, I have to ask Lisa Kainlow, the medical system. Take a typical office, and there are so many patients that have to be gotten through. There's a lot of business to medicine. Does that prevent a provider from spending that kind of time that is needed to kind of tease these things out?
Well, yes, I think that there's definitely challenges in how we relate to each other when we're pushing through a number of people in a short amount of time. That said, there are some new models of prenatal care that are out there that have been shown to be very effective, particularly in groups where they have been receiving poor care or have had poor health outcomes. So what that model of care is group prenatal care. And, you know, I think one of the things that Lee was alluding to is that it, instead of it being the provider's agenda for what we do during those visits, and there is the need for certain measurements mm-hmm. and assessments, that's why you're going to your healthcare provider. But at the same time, that agenda is just a piece of who we are. Biologically, you know, our biology is only a piece of it, but it's the whole way in which we're living that also informs the healthcare provider and what's happening in that person's life and how they might be able to talk to them about opportunities for health and well-being, resources and support. And so we have to not make it our agenda when we go into the prenatal visit. We have to look at what's the woman's agenda or the family's agenda as they're coming into the office. What do they need? What are their priorities? And instead of telling them information, actually asking and listening to what their goals are. So you hear a lot about, you know, shared decision making mm. and patient engagement are two terms that are really getting a lot of interest today in looking at healthcare in general, but in maternity care in particular, I think it's a salient need to pay attention to.
Right. Finally, I have to ask you, Lee, speaking of women together, let's talk about the sisterhood. What do you think women can do or stop doing as they talk to friends or family members, to expectant moms about childbirth? I guess I'm asking, should we be laying off the war stories? Because you do see that happen where you're like, oh, you won't believe how long I was in labor or whatever. Fill in the blank.
Well, I mean, I think the interesting thing about birth is that, you know, for eons, it has been a rite of passage for women. And I think the way that we talk about rite of passages is often in this sort of warlike language. So I think in some ways that's not entirely problematic. I think what we can do for other women is instead of relaying all of our experiences, asking, how are you doing? Like, what are you thinking about this birth coming up or new parenthood? Or, you know, I always sort of think of the example, one of the first, I think it was my first trip out with my daughter right after she was born, and she was like 10 days old, and I was at Kroger and I was uncomfortable and exhausted. And this woman came up to me and said, enjoy it. This is the best it's ever going to be. And I thought, if that's the case, like, I am in serious trouble here.
Because I'm not enjoying this very much.
And how much that said. And then, so like, I've made it my mission to go up to new moms and say, this part's so hard, it gets better. Mm. And I think any ways that we can sort of connect with women around not just our own experiences, but their experiences leads to a culture of support and leads to a change in the culture of how we talk about pregnancy and birth and new parenting.
Interesting research. Lisa Kane Lowe and Lee Roosevelt, nurse midwives with the University of Michigan School of Nursing, on their study. And I'm sure you've just begun to scratch the surface, and there's much more study to be done and mm-hmm. questions to be answered. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.